Well, good morning. If you would, turn your Bible to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, and the text that was just read is chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. We are working our way through the book of 1 John. Our message this morning is titled, The Results of Redemption. And so what did the death of Christ accomplish for us? What are the results of being redeemed in Jesus Christ? What are they? Well, in our text, John discusses them, and he tells us what the results of redemption are. And so, first of all, this morning, John wants us to know that the guilt, that the burden of guilt has been lifted from your life. You see, when one is saved, his sins are forgiven. And guilt, simply defined as the condemnation which rests upon us because we have transgressed the law of the Lord. And there are really two types of guilt. You have legal guilt and you have personal guilt. And legal guilt is when you violate a law, you're guilty. You don't have to feel guilty, you're guilty because you have broken a law. And so you're guilty of a transgression. Whereas personal guilt is more how you feel about breaking God's law or man's laws, whatever the laws we're talking about might be. But in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, John says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And so when we are fully conscious of our sin, our wrongdoing, we feel guilty. We experience guilt. In fact, we see this in Acts, the second chapter. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter is preaching to that large audience of people, the first gospel message, he says in verse 36 and 7, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Notice, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? At this moment, they felt the guilt of their sin. They knew that they were guilty of crucifying the Son of God. And their guilt was apparent. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ came into the world to take away our sins. And when the sin goes, the guilt goes with it. And so in verse 5, John reminds us here of two great truths concerning Jesus. Number one, his purpose of coming into the world. And secondly, his perfection of character. Notice verse 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him, there is no sin. And so the reason that Jesus' birth forced into history is capsuled into four beautiful words. To take away sin. That's why Jesus Christ came into the world. We are told that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so Jesus is the sin bearer of the world. In John chapter 1, when John the Baptist was baptizing people, Jesus came along. And when John saw him, he pointed and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so we're told that God loved the world, that he gave Jesus over to be crucified for us. And so Jesus was God's perfect sacrificial lamb. And so John wants us to know that. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, concerning Jesus, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By his stripes, we are healed. And so, through the death of Jesus on the cross and our acceptance of that death, the guilt of our sin has been lifted from our life. We're no longer guilty of having violated God's law. That was taken care of by Jesus. And so the guilt for having transgressed the law of God has been lifted from your life. Legally, your standing with God is you are sinless. That's the way God looks at you and views you. He views you through His Son, Jesus. He doesn't see you. He sees the righteousness of Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, everything has become new. In 2 Corinthians 5, 21, Paul says, for He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so we are the very righteousness of Almighty God. That's an amazing thing when you think about it, because we were transgressors. We were lawbreakers. But now we're the righteousness of Christ. And we can thank God and His Son Jesus for that, because through Jesus' death, the guilt of sin has been lifted from our lives. And that's a wonderful thing. But secondly, it's important to note that the bondage of sin is broken. Notice verse 7. He says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. And then in verse 9, he says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He has testified of His Son, Jesus. And so, when one is saved, he is released from the tyranny, from the power, from the control of sin. When you commit sin, you become the slave of sin. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 8. He who commits sin is the slave of sin. And so, as a sinner, sin dominates and controls our life. And we really don't have a choice but to sin, because we're under the power, we're under the control, we're under the tyranny of sin. But through the sacrifice of Jesus, we're no longer under the bondage of sin. John says, no one who lives in Him sins in verse 6. Why? Because he's been delivered from the power and the dominion of sin. Therefore, sin is not to be a part of your life any longer. It has been the power, the control that sin had over your life. It no longer possesses that. That's what John wants us to know. Prior to conversion, we were slaves of sin. We're no longer a slave of sin. It's important to recognize that if we're going to live righteously for God. You see, sin no longer has a hold on your life. You are free to live righteously. That's what the Bible teaches us. Paul says this in Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 3. He says, do you not know that many of us, as were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for He who has died has been freed from sin. If you're a Christian, if you've been cleansed of your sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, sin no longer controls you. It no longer can dominate your life like it once did. And that's important. And so no one who is born of God will continue to sin. If you're a Christian, you should not deliberately engage in sin. Now, there are going to be times when we engage in sin. All right? We're not going to get out of this life by living perfectly. But we should strive to be as sinless as we possibly can. And so, sin no longer dominates, no longer controls, therefore it shouldn't dictate your life anymore. And so, you've been born of God. You've been radically transformed. You've been given a new nature. And your appetites and your attitudes now are, you're Christ-centered. Your heart, your desire is to please God, to do what honors Him, not to engage in sinful activity which dishonors God. Paul says we're a new creation in Jesus Christ, and no one who is born of God will go on sinning. That's what John tells us. If he does, he doesn't know God. So what John is saying, if you're a believer and you deliberately engage in sin every day, you do not know God. That's what John is clearly teaching here. Notice verse 6 and 7. This is he who came... Oh, I'm sorry, wrong place. Verse 6 and 7. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. And so, we're no longer to engage in sinful activities every day as we once did before our redemption in Jesus Christ. Now, that does not mean that we will live a sinless life. We know that because of chapter 1. In chapter 1, verse 8, notice what John says there. He says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So as a Christian, I can't say that I don't have no sin, none, absolutely none. I can't do that because I do sin. All right? It's not my habit. It's not my pattern, but I sin. And hopefully it's not your habit or your pattern as well. You see, the idea is that sin is no longer our practice. That's what John means by when he says in verse 6, whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither known him, seen him, or known him. So the idea is simply you don't practice that sin anymore. That's what John is telling us, not that you don't ever sin. Because in 1 John 1:8, he says we can't say we don't have it. And if we say we don't have it, then we're a liar. And so we can't deny that there is sin in our lives, but it's not the habit of our lives. Righteousness is the habit of our lives. And so conversion is somewhat like the Exodus. You know, as a sinner is enslaved to sin, the Israelites were slaves to the Egyptians. And when God delivered them from Egyptian bondage, their bondage was broken. And so the Israelites were free to go out and experience the fellowship and the service of Almighty God. And likewise, conversion to Christ, which culminates in our baptism from that watery grave that we read about a few moments ago in Romans chapter 6. One enters into a new life of fellowship and service of God. The bondage of sin is broken from your life. And you need to know that. If you're going to live righteously, you need to know that sin no longer has a hold on you, no longer controls you, no longer dictates how you live and what you do. You are righteous. You're the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But then number three, the business of Satan is destroyed. The business of Satan is totally destroyed. Verse 8, John says, he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. He's a career criminal or career sinner, if you will. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Why? That he might destroy the works of the devil. And so when one is saved, the business of Satan is destroyed in that person's life. Jesus' major reason for coming into the world was to defeat the devil. It was to destroy the devil. Verse 8, the reason that God's Son appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And so the word that the Holy Spirit uses here for destroy, it means simply to bring to naught. And so Jesus brought to naught the aims, the purposes, the plans, and the schemes of the devil in the life of every believer. And so the earthly ministry of Jesus was an ongoing battle with the devil. And at the cross, Jesus met the devil in hand-to-hand contact in the decisive battle. And the resurrection announced the victor. In Romans chapter 1, verse 4, the apostle says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. And so, the devil is still alive, he's still active, but as he moves about doing his work of wickedness in the world, he wears the battle scars of defeat. And so we're not awaiting the decisive battle. We're living in the wake of the victory that Jesus has brought us by defeating the works of the devil. And so he destroyed the devil's power over your life. Satan no longer is controlling you. His business has been cut off. His business is broken from you. And so we've observed this morning the results of redemption. What are they? Number one, the burden of guilt is lifted. That's a wonderful thing because guilt's a hard thing to live with. Guilt drives people to do a lot of things, right? I mean, people drink and get high because of guilt. Because they need to drown that guilt that they're experiencing. Well, you don't have that guilt if you're in Jesus. He's taken that all away from you. Number two, the bondage of sin is broken. And so you're now free to live, to serve God. Just like the Israelites, when they left Egypt, I mean, God broke the bondage of Egypt. When the Israelites left, they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And then they went off into the wilderness where they met up with God. Because in Exodus chapter 19, when we read about the Israelites, when they left Egypt, God didn't bring them to a mountain. God brought them to himself. That's what we read in Exodus 19 and verse 3. I brought you on eagle's wings to myself, is what God tells the Israelites. And so he freed them and then brought them out to experience his presence and to live in his presence forever. And then number three, the business of Satan is destroyed. And so his power is no longer anything that we need to concern ourselves with because it has been broken in our life. We are now free to live righteously for God. And so my question to you this morning is this. Have you been redeemed? And if you haven't been, then you cannot experience the results of redemption that we're looking at this morning. These results are not true in your life if you don't know Jesus Christ. If you do not know him, then we're going to sing a song. And while we sing this song, we hope to encourage you to get up out of that seat, come forward and say, I want to give my life to God. I want to be a Christian. I want to serve Jesus Christ. And we hope and pray that you'll do that this morning as we sing the song of invitation to encourage you to respond.